I'm Bob Boylan with All Songs Considered. Thanks for listening to the show. We'd like to better understand who you are, who's listening to the show, how you're listening to podcasts. So please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcast survey. That's one word. It takes less than 10 minutes, and it really helps support the show. So that's npr.org/podcast survey. Thanks. It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Adelaide Sandstrom, and you are our intern, and you are leaving us.
Wait, yeah, I'm sorry to know that information, but I've had just a wonderful time here so far, and it's been great to get to know the NPR Music team.
And you've been doing lots of writing on the blog, song premieres, and really actually helping us put the show together every week, writing all the little blurbs for all of the songs we put up every week. So thank you for being an extraordinary intern. And so today, you're going to lead off our show. What are you going to do?
I wanted to play a brand new song. I am from Seattle, so people may be familiar with the band Chastity Belt. This band was really at the front of a group of bands that were really meaningful to me when I was a teenager and a college student. Mm-hmm. So this new single is from a songwriter named Julia Shapiro. Julia Shapiro is the lead singer of Chastity Belt. This song is Julia's first solo endeavor. She wrote and recorded this song herself. And there's an interesting quote that she shared about it that I feel like I can relate to. I'm a young person, a millennial. And so Julia says that this song is about having an existential crisis. Like, what should I do with my life? What life do I want? Should I move to a cabin in the woods and get a dog? Maybe I don't want to be in a touring band bartending on the side for the rest of my life, but what else could I do? So I really relate to that feeling of wondering if the life that you created for yourself is what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
The song is called Natural.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it so much. Julia Shapiro, the song is called Natural. It's from the album Perfect Vision, which is out this June on Hardly Art.
You're going to have one more from me. I'm going to play something now. Do you know Cautious Clay?
I do.
Cautious Clay has a new EP out. It's got a great picture of him with a desk sitting on a street, and it's called Table of Contacts. It's the table, I'd call it a desk, that he does most of his songwriting at. And the EP is called Table of Contacts. I'm going to play a song called Sidewinder. And Cautious Clay, for me, he straddles at this line between old school R&B and new school R&B, and then electronica and jazz. He plays flute, he plays saxophone, he sings. I love this guy. I'm going to play, and I asked him to tell me what Sidewinder is all about. It's a lead off track to Table of Contacts, and this is what he said.
So Sidewinder is really a song about feeling distracted by things in life. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they're all part of experiences that can create happiness, or in some cases purpose, but is really just encapsulating that feeling of like being distracted, but kind of accepting it and rolling with it. And it's really in the chorus, you know, crimson light making you side with me. It's like that crimson light is almost like the lightning bug that is distraction. And I really closed it out with a super high pitched voice of someone who was kind of drunk in this Uber. And I just thought it was such a crazy conversation and really encapsulated the kind of sentiment of that spontaneity, but also kind of like recklessness that is life and is important in life.
Am I really that sorrow filled? Fucking a fill, nothing is real. Said you had no discipline, savoring what passion was left in my mind. Keep perspective on my timeline, I don't need it, I don't want it. You really crimson light making you side with me. It's alright if you make a friend. Picking sides, making your eyes at me. There's no shame in closed hands, lost eyes.
Was that a little kid that we just heard?
Yeah,
what
I thought
was that?
It was a little kid, but didn't he say at the top it was about somebody drunk in an Uber?
So maybe something just pitched up a bit.
Wow. Unless there's helium in that alcohol, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was Cautious Clay, a song from Table of Contents, an EP that just came out. The song was called Sidewinder.
Well, I have something that's a bit different here for you to play next. I guess the first question I have is, do you like Fish, Bob?
Oh, a complicated question.
Not Fish the band.
Yes, no, I'm assuming that, but good. I cannot stand the smell of fish. In fact, yesterday, while I was in my apartment, the neighbors, I live in an apartment, and somebody was cooking fish, and I had to put my air filter real close to the door because I couldn't, and I had to open all the windows. But that said, it's a complicated answer. I love salmon. How's that?
That's a good answer. Well, as I've already established on this episode, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so I will gladly
I know your answer.
Accept that answer.
So what does my liking fish have to do with your song? I'm really curious.
Well, the artist that I'm going to play is a folk singer from Durham, North Carolina, named Jake Xerxes Fussell. And so I'm going to read to you his quote about this song, The River St. Johns. People might know that the St. Johns River is the longest river in Florida. So Jake says about this song that he wrote, "The River St. Johns comes straight from one of Stetson Kennedy's Florida WPA recordings of a gentleman named Hardin Stuckey doing his interpretation of a fishmonger's cry, which he recalls from a childhood memory."
Wow. So an old recording from probably the 1940s or so, if it's WPA.
Yeah, right. And Stetson Kennedy was a Floridian author and one of the most preeminent folklore collectors of the 20th century. So this is a history lesson for us all in a song, I suppose.
Great. What's it called?
The River St. Johns.
Awesome. as soon as he sang that line, Fussily, what's his name? I forgot it.
Jake Xerxes Fussell.
Thank you. As soon as Jake sang that opening line, I knew that recording, and I was looking it up as he was singing it. Let me just see if this is right, and I don't...
There's an old gentleman selling fish, and this was the song that he would sing in the morning as he came down Manning Avenue, where I lived, and other streets throughout the city could be heard for quite a distance, for several blocks, singing, I got fresh fish this morning, ladies. They're right. Gilded with gold, and you may find a dime in their mouth. They're just from the river.
I don't know where, and I'm not even sure that's the original voice that I heard, but I have no idea where I know that voice from, but it's going to haunt me all day. But that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear Jake's new record. This is his third full-length release. The album is called Out of Sight, and it is out June 7th on Paradise of Bachelors.
Okay, let's have a going-away lunch of fish and chips.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
it. Thanks for being
it.
Here, and thanks for being a great intern.
Yeah, of course.
We'll miss you. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music. And Tom Isaac is coming on next.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Blue, makers of the Yeti USB microphone. Ready to record that song, start a podcast, or launch your YouTube channel? Blue helps thousands of creators tell their stories every day and sound great doing it. Raise your voice and get started with special pricing at bluedesigns.com/NPR.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. And in the studio right now is Tom Heisiger. He covers classical music, world music, and all sorts of stuff that a lot of people don't know about.
And I love my job.
Pretty amazing. Tom has brought not only music, but a box of tissues. So help me here.
Well, you never know. This music that we're going to listen to, sometimes I can't get through talking about it without shedding a tear or two. So you want to listen to just a little bit of it?
Yes. Oh, my. Okay. All right. First of all, hand me a tissue because I'm getting, I know where I'm going with this.
I mean, I'm not a crybaby, but.
Right. You know. I remember covering this symphony back in the early 90s of Gretzky. And why don't you tell us all about this little piece and we'll dive deep.
Well, you might recognize it especially if you were listening to radio back in 1992, which was the year that a recording came out of this obscure Polish composer, Symphony No. 3. His name is Henryk Gorecki, and he was little known outside Poland until the London Sinfonietta and the soprano Dawn Upshaw released this recording on Nonesuch, which shot way up the charts, ended up selling 1 million copies, which is extraordinary for a classical recording. And get this, it even reached No. 6 on the UK pop charts.
That's crazy. And how and why?
Well, the music has a strange power over people. It's very slow. It's 54 minutes long. This kind of slow, churning, three-hanky dirge for symphony and soprano soloist and piano. And it's based on three different texts. There are three different movements of the symphony. One text is a prayer inscribed by a teenage girl on the wall of a Gestapo prison in the 40s. So the music just really surprised everyone, I think, with its simplicity and its haunting beauty. And it certainly surprised the composer. I'll tell this little story, which is fascinating, that about a year or so after it sold all these copies, then Nonesuch sent Henryk Gorecki, the composer, a check for like hundreds of thousands of dollars in royalty. He kept it in his wallet so long that it disintegrated. They had to cut him another check because he didn't really believe it, I guess. But
that's awesome.
So now what we have here is a new recording of this symphony, and it's not performed by a classically trained soprano soloist. It's performed by Beth Gibbons.
Wow, so people know Beth Gibbons from
Portishead,
yeah.
Right? And until now, really only classically trained sopranos have taken on this music. There have been a few recordings of the symphony, and her backup band is the very appropriate Polish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by one of the most revered composer-conductors today, Krzysztof Penderecki, so she's in very good hands. She didn't know Polish. She had to learn Polish. She had a vocal coach. Polish is tough for Polish people to sing. There are so many consonants in it. And so we're going to listen to, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes of the third movement of the symphony. And what you'll hear is a voice that's not classically trained. You'll hear that it's under strain. She's kind of struggling up there in the soprano range because her voice naturally sits a little lower, like a mezzo-soprano. But you can argue that this is what actually makes this recording even more arresting and more moving, ultimately, because you hear that struggle with the notes, and then the text that she's singing in this excerpt is all about a mother lamenting the loss of her son in war. It's an old Polish folk song from Southwest Poland in the early part of the 20th century. Okay, so here's Beth Gibbons, the soprano soloist, along with the Polish Radio Symphony Orchestra, Krzysztof Penderecki, conducting a little bit of the third movement of Gorecki's Third Symphony.
Thank you.
And this text is from the point of a mother?
Yeah, some of the words are that we heard Beth Gibbons there saying, "Where has he gone, my dearest son? Perhaps during the uprising, the cruel enemy killed him. You bad people, in the name of God most holy, tell me, why did you kill my son? Never again will I have his support, even if I cry my old eyes out."
Wow.
So you can hear there why the power that the music had in, over more people than we ever would have thought, selling a million copies of a record that was made in 1992. This is a new version of Henrik Gorecki's Third Symphony, with not a classically trained soprano singing behind us there, but indeed Beth Gibbons. And I think that, she doesn't sound all silvery and beautiful, and not all the notes are like hit dead on, but I think it's amazing. I mean, she's not trained as sopranos are trained to project a voice over a symphony orchestra without a microphone. Now, obviously, when this was from a live recording and she was mic'd and stuff like that, but the performance is arresting.
And this is a 4 or 5 year old recording.
From 2014, right? Not sure why they waited this long to do it. There's also a video of the complete performance, and you can see part of it at the All Songs page. It's
a thing of beauty.
It's a thing of beauty. And when you even listening to like 5 minutes, 4 minutes of it there, you can understand why people were moved. And one person, I just have to tell this quick story that's very moving, that the composer, Henrik Gorecki, after the release of the 1992 recording that made this symphony very popular, he gets a letter from a 14-year-old Swedish girl who is a burn victim. And she writes the composer this letter explaining how her house caught on fire and she and her dad jumped from the fourth floor. Her mother dies in the fire. She's in the hospital writing this letter. And she assumes that her father also perished in the fire. And they gave her a computer so she could write this letter, a special computer. And she says to the composer, she says, "I have a cassette player and I have your music. And your music is the only thing that keeps my will to live alive." Mm. You know, it's devastating.
Amazing music. And the lovely thing in the 21st century about all of this is that if someone, even if they couldn't spell Gorecki's last name, you don't have to go out and buy a album or CD. Just go and search Beth Gibbons Symphony, and
right,
you'll find this thing and spend some time with it when you have it. Undistracted time, I suggest.
Yes, indeed. It's not a party record, let's put it that way, but it's gorgeous, and it was nice to revisit the symphony under these conditions, somebody doing something very new with it.
Well, this is the non-party portion of of All Songs Considered, the non-party portion of All Songs Considered, because I'm going to play something that's got a lot of depth and weight to it as
indeed.
Well, you know, Tom, and one of the reasons I want to play this with you in the room is, you know, the group The Gloaming.
They are great.
They are an extraordinary group of Irish and American musicians, including the amazing fiddler Martin Hayes. Dennis Cahill is a guitarist on it. Folks know Thomas Bartlett
right,
on our show, because we've played many pieces of music with Thomas Bartlett, both as an artist. He goes by the name of Dove Man. And also just as a producer in general, he's got an extraordinary ear and sense of composition and orchestration.
Right, and I think he produced at least one of the two beautiful Sufjan Stevens songs that went to the movie that was out last year called Call Me By Your Name. Those are beautiful songs.
So I've heard the new record. The new Gloaming record is called Three. It's their 17th album. No, I'm just kidding.
You do the math.
And the opening track was an extraordinary track that I could not understand because it was not in English. So I reached out to the group to ask them about the song and what it's about. And I said, "Could you just send me, if you wouldn't mind, just like a minute explainer?" I got a 17-minute sound recording, which I will not play for you right now, but I will put part of that 17-minute recording was reading the poem that this song called The Weight of Things was based upon. So I will play you the first minute that the singer, Irla O'Leonard, sent to me, and then I'll play this extraordinary song called The Weight of Things.
And there's an interesting connection between the Goretzky that we just heard and the song that we're about to hear, because it's, again, a song about a mother and son bond. How do you like that?
Mind blown.
Essentially, this poem, The Weight of Things, is a poem by Liam O'Mahilla, the Irish language poet from Cork City, about his mother and their entire sort of life together, mother and child, son and mother, beginning when he was very young in her arms and ending with her death much later in life. So it's a meditation on the detail of their lives together. The Irish translation is, or the rather the title in Irish is pronounced Machan Ruddy, The Weight of Things. Thomas started doing this very heavy rhythmical sort of thing on the piano, and immediately the words just started gushing forth as if they had always intended to do so.
Machan the Vakling Sifik Jurding Bert to Fitzgerald's Park Christmas Nisha Tree Ar Machan Rain Argo Vachan Machan the Hatan Lusser the Gari Machan is to the moon per fagne me Machan Sigus Ligusari Vachan fein nor ardis riv o halav Achan tuchur dalav de vachan bio De vachan maro Machan am okal geiri sig chit madring maravach ski hain skuin Ali Traum vachan urnli Let Vachan die, diddle dee, Machan lor fine fee, le guimi. Machan hyol de hohom tua se chahil, Machan de viol da higlir de lupui ege. Machen and Til Voer, Machen Sagert, Machen Brahne, Machen Ol, Machen Starre, Machen de Vrien, Machen and Lien, Hoog no Kosselo, Machen and Til Lille, Machen de Schredde. Her humble Heinische, ik fahr nach Tlumsach und tachte stach, machen doch ein paar Leute, machen Kross und Thiel, machen doch Rille, machen doch ein Müllem und Bier, machen Nerch und Chalina, Hurt und Buin, and the wall in the matron lord living king the wachen kirpagus to iglios can clar tree hagus tree law machen in schkevre the hula gus the glechor ton dev hau machen in duel to head alone Machen an ankere, agus sé gramu gedacht an a ton bruach hau. Machen a rún a chrevein shelter an ismo. Machen an hra, ran hra, duaskel gleach an vashanat. Machen an varahal a dalt a chiaun, in a rachlig an hra. Machen a baigdal.
Oh, 7.5 minutes of absolute stunning beauty. I hope somebody who doesn't know this kind of music and could connect to it. Lyrically, it's not in a language that we can understand, but musically, it speaks so well to me.
Yeah, I mean, you listen to, well, let's say Sigur Rós, if you're a fan of that music. I mean, yeah. you don't understand what Jonsi's singing,
yeah.
You know, so... most of the time, but you don't have to. Or it's like listening to opera, you know, you don't, unless you know it really well, you don't know what they're singing, but you don't have to know. And the same thing.
Yeah, I listen to punk music a lot and I have no idea what they're singing and I still like it.
Right, but when you get a vocalist that's so expressive like Irlo Leonard there, I mean, it's It's really great.
Rough translation of these words.
It's a really beautiful poem that he was talking about there. And you hear him repeat that word, weight, all the time. And the translation is, some of it is, my weight as you bore me for 9 months. This is how talking this relationship between mother and son. The weight of sitting, getting up, lying down. Your weight that I never lifted from the ground before burying you in the ground. Your living weight, your dead weight. The weight of words rising and falling between us. The wing beat of swans.
Incredible. So the song's called The Weight of Things. The group is The Gloaming. The singer, as I said earlier, gave me a translation of this poem in full that inspired this piece of music. And so I'll take that. I'll put that online separately for those who want to spend the 5 minutes or whatever to listen to it. Tom, I need something a little uplifting to go out on.
Okay.
So let's do that.
Let's have some headbanging music, kind of. So at least banging music.
Okay.
You know, back in the caveman times, obviously the first instrument must have been the human voice, but the second.
You remember that?
I do. I go back a long ways, but the second instrument must have been like people banging on stuff. You know, in other words, percussionists, and we've got four of them here banging on stuff. They're called Third Coast Percussion. They're from Chicago. They were here for a tiny disc not long ago, and they played music of Philip Glass, and they played music written by one of the band members, and he is David Skidmore, and he's written a piece called Torched and Wrecked, which he said was about something really sad that happened to his bandmate Sean's car, so we can only imagine what happened to the car. But you're going to hear Sean banging on four galvanized steel pipes of various lengths. First, we hear a marimba, then it goes into these pipes, and you also hear vibes. And if you go and check out the Tiny Desk on our site, you'll see
so
that
many
the
percussion instruments.
The mallets just fly so fast that they're a blur. So, this is Third Coast Percussion, and the song is Torched and Wrecked off a new record called Perpetulum.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, everybody. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.